We are in the third week of our series, Do It Again. This is our annual Heart for the House series, like we just heard at both locations, which will culminate into next Sunday, which is our annual Heart for the House Sunday, where we take up our Miracle Heart for the House offering every year. If you haven't been here for the last few weeks, our main anchor project this year is our brand new West Side campus that we're going to be breaking ground on early this next year, which is amazing. We are so excited. It's on Paradise Boulevard, just east of Universe. It was an amazing church and property that was given to us that we are called to steward to the best of our ability. So we are remodeling, we're expanding, and we're really, really, really excited to see what God does in and through this building over the next decade or so. I mean, this is just an unbelievable opportunity that we have. So that's our anchor project for our Heart for the House offering. We also said on week one, we've set the largest goal we've ever set, ever in the history of our Heart for the House offerings, of $2 million to raise. I know that is a faith goal. It is a major stretch goal. But what that allows us to do is to get into the West Campus with minimal debt and also accomplish all the other endeavors that we're setting out to accomplish in and through our church with ministry. So it's a great season. Are you guys excited about everything that God is doing? So every year we have this series set aside where I call it a we or an us series, where we cast the vision for who we are as a church and where we're going as a church. Most of our other sermon series through the year have to do with you as an individual or your family and discipleship oriented and education oriented. But I think it's so vital for people to know what the church is like that they're attending and that they're involved in, who we are, where we're headed, and what our stance is on vision and what God's called us to do in this city. So we're excited for this. Again, it all culminates next week. But I've got a few really cool things to unveil today in our Heart for the House offering. But before I do that, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 18. I'm not gonna read a whole lot, but I'm gonna come back to this. I'm gonna tell most of the story, but we're going to come back to Acts 18 19 here in a few minutes. But in Acts chapter 18, first of all, what we see is the Apostle Paul had been in the city of Corinth for about 18 months. So he had traveled from Jerusalem through his missionary journey. He's in Corinth, and he has stayed there for 18 months to start a church, to see the church strengthened to the point where that church can now function on its own without him. Now, two of the main people that were with Paul in Corinth, it was a married couple named Priscilla and Aquila. They're an amazing couple that Paul actually worked with. They were business partners and ministry partners. They were tent makers. And when you go to Corinth on one of our church trips, you can actually walk in the exact vicinity of where their stall would have been when they were selling tents, when Paul would have met them, and where he would have sold tents and made tents with them right there. All of this actually happened. So he's there for 18 months and really starts to sense that God is calling him to move on and to start new churches. Well, just a few miles away from Corinth, there's a port called the Port of Cenchreae. And toward the end of chapter 18, you see that Paul and his two companions, Priscilla and Aquila, join him as they set sail from this port toward Ephesus, toward Asia Minor, which would have been the province of what present-day Turkey. And he's setting sail for Ephesus, not knowing what was ahead of them. We know, because we have the Cliff Notes, we have the ending of the story. We know that great things happened, but we also know there were mobs that wanted to kill him. We know that he was left for dead, that he was flogged. There were major things that happened ahead of Paul on that journey. But one thing I want to zero in on is when he first arrives in Ephesus. In Ephesus, if you've never been or never looked at pictures of ancient Ephesus, your mind can't even comprehend how massive and amazing this city is. Paul walks into this major, major city in the Roman Empire, a city of education, a city that worshiped the goddess Artemis, and he walks into this city where no one has heard the message of Christianity. He goes straight to the synagogue, because he starts in the synagogue preaching to Jewish people first, and he preaches and he's not received. So then after a few months, there's a man in Ephesus named Tyrannus who owned a lecture hall. And he tells Paul that he can use his lecture hall to teach what Paul was wanting to teach. Paul, for the next 2 years, stays in Ephesus. We've moved into Acts 19 now. He stays in Ephesus for 2 years, preaching, teaching, leading, discipling, training people. There are people by the hundreds that are getting saved and discipled. And all of a sudden, Ephesus, this place that no one would have expected, becomes an amazing ministry hub in Asia, a major ministry hub. Acts 19, 9 through 9 says this. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years. Listen to this next statement. So that all, everybody say all, the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Isn't it interesting sometimes how quickly we can read over a verse and not understand how majorly impactful and crazy that verse is? I want to read it again because the Bible does not mince words and it does not lie. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. There was something so special about those 2 years in Ephesus. It's as if God chose this unexpected place in the middle of this barren area to become something that would be a training ground, a hub, a base that would do ministry all over Asia. This is a big deal because the province of Asia, today it's Western Turkey, included Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And again, all the residents of Asia heard the word. It's geographically impossible unless the Ephesian church became passionate about the capital C church and became a hub for discipleship and leadership training to go beyond their church to invest in the church that God loves and cares about. Are you guys with me so far today? You can see where I'm going with this. So Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and this is what Luke is essentially telling us. Ephesus became a base for ministry operation. I don't know if Paul intended for that to happen, but it did. A major base where people were being trained and sent out, where churches were being started, strengthened, empowered. And it's a beautiful picture of what can be. We need those pictures of what can be, especially from the New Testament, because if they did it, if God did it then, he can do it again. He can do it again. You know, I think it's important for us to look at our own church's history and to think about where we've been and what has been spoken over our church. I think oftentimes, obviously, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit is alive today and wants to supernaturally empower his followers, the believers of Christ. And in 2019, we were holding our yearly rally conference. It had just been announced, just I believe 2 weeks before our rally conference, that Mandy and I were going to be stepping in to become the senior pastors of Citizen Church 1 year later. So we made the announcement 1 year before we officially became the pastors. At this time, my parents were still the pastors, and we had begun the transition year. Also at this time, the name of our church was Copper Point Church. We had not yet changed the name to Citizen Church, but I had a great friend who was preaching at the rally conference that year, and some of you will remember this. His name is Mark Francie. He called Mandy and I up onto the stage, and Mark Francie operates with the gift of prophecy in the most real, tangible, dare I say, normal way possible. It's just so real where you know this is of God because of the humility in which he speaks. And I love this moment. He prophesied over Mandy and I. I'm going to show you this video, but I want you to receive it not as a prophecy for Mandy and I, but a prophecy for our church. And then I want to show you, you can think on your own, but I want to show you how good God is and what God can do if we just step into the invitation. Why? Because prophecy is an invitation. It's not a guarantee. It's an invitation, it's not a guarantee. So remember, our church's name at this time was Copper Point, and our video guy told me to tell you at the beginning of this video, he didn't know this prophecy was gonna happen, so he was trying to get the camera together, so it's a little bit crazy at the beginning, But I want you to pay attention to this because this is a very important video for the history and future of our church.
I thank you, Lord, that they are generals. You're young generals. And I believe that the Lord is starting to give you like a grid. And I feel like this is a word not only for you and Manny, but this is a word for this house in this next season. That God says the study session is over. It's time to innovate. I feel like there's been a season of copying others, looking to others, learning from others. And God says, I let you see different streams, taste different rivers, so that you can figure out what flavor Copper Point will be. And I just felt like the Lord says he's going to give you a grid. It's like a grid of a city. And God is going to give you a grid not only for Albuquerque, but I believe that God will give you guys a grid for the body of Christ. And there is like this large-scale wisdom gift that is on both of you guys. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you in front of your church that there is going to be a wisdom that exceeds your years, your experiences. And I felt like he wanted me to tell you that he sees you guys like generals of a military-like base. And Copper Point will be a strategic military hub for, I believe, the body of Christ, that people will come from all over the world to sit under the teachings, to sit under the systems that will come out of this house. Songs will be written here that will be sung in other languages, in other nations. And I'm telling you that there will be innovative forms of ministry, systems, and structures that will literally be birthed out of the core of your spirits. I see there's a new grace coming on your marriage. There's a new intimacy in your prayer times. And I felt like the Lord said he's going to start whispering the secrets of heaven in your prayer times. It says the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you that you've always loved him. But there's been a new season happening starting even last year or so. That God says, you've been telling the Lord, I don't want to just love you. I want to revere your presence. I want to respect you beyond my ability to understand you. Feel him here. And the Holy Spirit said he's pleased with you, Dustin. That you would trust him beyond logic. That you would trust him beyond bad experiences. And that you wouldn't get jaded or allow circumstances to take the purity and the genuineness of your faith. And I say to you, man of God, dream. Dream dreams of grids. Dream dreams of strategies and structures, not only for this house, but for the body of Christ at large.
Wow. I've held on to that because when I walked off the stage that day, people have spoken things over me, and I always want to receive what God wants me to receive, and if it's not of God, to let it go. But there was something about that day where I just really sensed this is God. So I started to do what I felt like God said, to draw grids and to dream with systems and structures. And I just want to show you one just kind of a small example of this that's kind of a side note. But at the end of 2020, in a prayer time, I said, God, I feel a burden for campuses in our city. Campuses in our city. And I felt like God just said, draw where you think the campuses should be. And so I just looked at a map of Albuquerque and had our location here and just said, well, I feel like there should be one in the Northeast Heights, and I put a dot. And I feel like there should be one on the west side in a certain area, and I put another dot at the end of 2020. Now, keep in mind, we did not have our North Campus, and we did not know or anything whatsoever about the West Campus when I prayed this, and I kind of tucked it away, honestly, and forgot about it. When we got locked in with our North Campus and that launched, and when the West Side Campus came, we were in a meeting one day and this light bulb came on and I said, guys, do you remember what I drew years ago? And we had someone bring it out from a computer in a file and they showed us, and that's what the drawing was, and this is where the actual locations are. Go back to the drawing real quick, and this is where the locations are. The exact spots. Isn't that wild? And that's like, I know that almost seems like, okay, it actually happened. And this is what's so interesting about God's will. I think oftentimes when you're walking hand in hand with God, doing the things God wants you to do, I think oftentimes God says, you're walking in my ways. You've got faith for me to move. Where do you want to go? Dream the dreams that I've placed in your heart. And God begins to open up doors. I do have faith beyond logic. I have faith because I have seen things happen that cannot happen within the boundaries of logic or reason because we serve the God that goes beyond both of those. Do you guys believe that today? I've shared this story a little bit, but a few years ago, 3 years ago exactly, I went on a pastor's trip to Greece. That exact port that I just told you about at the end of Acts chapter 18, where Paul and Priscilla and Aquila sailed from, the port of Cenchreae, I went on a trip with a group of pastors there, and I stood at the edge of the water on this trip. And this is a photo of Mandy and I a couple years later. But I stood at the edge of the water looking out at this, looking out where the exact spot where Paul would have been looking out with his companions, not knowing what was ahead. I was on this trip with about 30 other church planters. I was the only one who didn't plant or start a church. I inherited a church that is now 93 years old with an amazing history, but I'm no church planter. And I've said this before, I asked the whole trip to the leaders of the trip, why was I invited? Why am I here? All you're doing is talking to church planters the whole time. And I remember standing at this port asking God, I know there's a reason I'm on this trip. Why am I here? And to be honest with you, I've always had this little, this pioneering spirit, this desire to plant a church in my heart. But I also knew that God has unequivocally called us here to pastor this church. So I kind of closed the door to that. And as I was praying, I felt God say this, as I've called you to stay so others can go. The pioneering spirit I put inside of you is to help others launch out of this church and to pioneer in new places, new cities, the God dreams that he's placed inside of them. And this is the promise that I felt like God told me that day. This is the promise I felt like he told me. I thought this is what I felt he said. He said, Dustin, you will always have what you need as a church if you make sure other churches always have what they need. And I promise you, I felt like he said, every time a church is in need, I want you to step up. Because this goes so much further beyond citizen church. I love this church, but I love the church. One church is not going to change a city. The church will. Do you guys agree with that today? And I felt like God spoke to us and said, this is going to be an Ephesus-style base or hub that will train leaders to start new churches and to strengthen existing churches. I believe that. Out of that trip also, we came home. I came home and we really solidified at that time and we launched what we call Co-Church Network. It was a part of our Heart for the House endeavor about 3 years ago when we were officially launching this. Co-Church Network is a network where we're a part of it, we lead it, but I have no desire to be in charge of something. I have a desire to be a part of something. But we started this network to resource other churches. At this point, over 120 churches have been resourced by the free resources we put out. I think that's pretty cool. Also, we have something within Co-Church, the family level of Co-Church, where it's a deeper relational bond with like-minded churches in the city, beyond the city, and to where it truly is an amazing thing where we're able to invest into churches. These churches are investing into other churches in the network. These churches are investing back into our church in the network, and we're seeing amazing things happen. And what's beautiful about it is half of our Co-Church family churches are in Albuquerque or the surrounding area. There is amazing church unity that's been happening. But I want to show you, because we invest a lot of money as a church into Co-Church Network. Well over $100,000 a year just into the network churches to make sure they're strong and resourcing and making sure pastors' families are strong, their kids are strong, the pastors' marriages are strong. And I want to show you just a few of the testimonies from other pastors about what you're investing in. If we can put the first one up, Jason and Monique Cowart from Freedom Church in Liberty, Texas said this, Co-Church has been a game changer for us. The pastors are incredible. The relationships are real, and the coaching has given us practical breakthroughs we never saw coming. From a quick call that reshaped our small groups to support for our kids' ministry, we've experienced uncommon care and wisdom. What started as a chance encounter has become one of the greatest blessings to our church. This couple was visiting Albuquerque from Texas, a family member in Albuquerque for a holiday. I met them in the atrium and said, why don't you take a look at Co-Church? And once they joined Co-Church, it starts changing how they see ministry, the health of their church, because of your financial investment into them. Isn't that amazing? Another amazing couple, Brian and Lynette Durrett from Kingdom Church in Gilbert, Arizona. If you guys know anyone in the Phoenix, Gilbert area that's looking for a church, this is it. And I love this, especially in the Gilbert area, because I have friends that pastor in Phoenix too, so gotta be careful. Gilbert area. The Co-Church Network came into our lives at exactly the right time. More than just resources, it gave us a family that truly cares, sees, and celebrates each member. At a time when ministry felt silent and isolating, Co-Church filled that void. We can't imagine doing ministry without this community. Isn't that amazing to see what God is doing? And this is because of the financial investment of our church. It can't just be about Citizen Church. I love Citizen Church, but I love that we have a congregation full of people that have a heart that goes beyond the walls of the church we call home. And I think we can give ourselves a big round of applause. Also, yes, we have campuses. Yes, we invest into our Co-Church network, but we also invest into church planting. By no means do we just want to have Citizen Church campuses everywhere. When someone has a dream to plant a church that's on our staff or a pastor and they go through the right process and system, we have a desire to partner with them. We partner with Union City Church in DC. I've talked a lot about that. 2 years ago, we partnered with Valley Church in our Heart for the House offering in Phoenix. The church is doing amazing. They just changed locations. It's growing and thriving. We invested $100,000 into that church plant. Now they're in Co-Church Network, thriving, and so much of it is because of the generosity of this house. And we want this to be a hub of church planting everywhere. One of the people that we've gotten really close to as a church over the last few years is one of my really good friends, Dr. Manny Arango. Do you guys love Dr. Manny Arango? He preached this last summer. He's preached at multiple rally conferences. Some of you guys have taken ARMA courses, the Bible department. And they announced this last year that they're starting a church called The Garden in downtown Houston. It is a major undertaking. They have a massive vision, but the first time Manny cast his vision for this church, I knew it was a God thing. Our leadership knew it was a God thing. Manny has come and invested into our church so much. His friendship has meant so much to me. We've made a decision to invest financially in a major way into Manny Arango's church. We are investing $50,000 into The Garden from our Heart for the House offering. Why? Why? Because we believe if we are building something, God says, build the church and I'll build your church. $50,000. But Manny, yeah, we can clap to that. But Manny sent in a video to say thank you, and I want to show you his video at this time.
Citizen Church, one of my favorite churches on the planet. Pastor Dustin, Pastor Mandy, I love you guys so much. I love your church. I love your congregation. And man, I just want to say thank you. Like an overwhelming, heartfelt thank you for your generosity towards our brand new church plant called The Garden. About a year ago, the Lord called me and my wife and our son to Houston, Texas. And we didn't have family here. We didn't know anybody here. We kind of felt overwhelmed by the call of God. We just knew that God told us there was a harvest here. And so we moved here and we started meeting with 9 people in our living room. And as of today, we're about 80 days away from launch Sunday. And we've already seen 100 people give their lives to Jesus. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen a diverse, spirit-filled group of people starting to gather together as a team, and we're all believing for a strong launch on January 25th, 2026. And I just want to say thank you for believing in us. Thank you for sowing sacrificially. Thank you so, so, so much for locking arms with us and partnering with us to see the vision of a multi-ethnic, diverse, spirit-filled, like multi-generational church, a life-giving church planted in Houston. Everybody's got a dream, but not everybody's got people who are willing to partner with them. So Pastor Dustin, Pastor Mandy, and to the whole Citizen Church family, thank you for partnering with us. We love you guys so much. Till next time, peace.
Awesome. Don't you love him? I mean, I'm going to be thrilled to watch what God does in downtown Houston over the next few years, and our investment into them means so, so, so much. You know, one of the things that's important, and you can kind of, what we're talking about this morning in essence is church unity. You know, church unity gets thrown around a lot, that term. And almost every person has a slightly different definition of what church unity means. A lot of people think church unity is that all the churches need to do a lot of things together. It can mean that, but that's not necessarily my definition of church unity. We love partnering and we'll definitely do some things together, but the body of Christ is the body of Christ for a reason. Every part of the body looks different and has a different function, but should equally be celebrated because the body needs to be whole. And I think one of the greatest things we can do is invest in each other as churches, celebrate each other as churches, and not tear each other down over open-handed issues in the Bible. And I think church unity is so important, mainly because Jesus thought it was so important. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in John 17, 20 through 23, as he's talking to his disciples. He says, I pray. So he's talking about his disciples to God. Sorry. I pray for these followers, but I am also praying for all those who will believe in me because of their teaching. What does that mean? I'm praying for my followers, but I'm also praying for all of those who will believe because of their teaching. That means he's praying for you and he's praying for me. He's looking into the future. And he says this, Father, I pray that they can be one as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they can also be one in us. Then listen to this. Then it says, then the world will believe that you sent me. It says, God, my prayer is that they'll be unified, that they'll be one. Then, you can look up that word then in the original language, in the original Greek, and it actually just means then, because of. It's a hinge word, in light of. So everything before, right, depends on everything after. Everything after depends on everything before. He's saying the whole world will know that Jesus was sent to do what he said he was gonna do when the church is unified. It doesn't mean we all have to be the same, but we need to be unified. I think we can clap to that. Here's what I think is a great biblical definition of church unity. Unity is the spiritual, relational, and missional alignment of all believers who confess the core doctrines of the Christian faith and belong to the one body of Christ. It recognizes that while churches differ in expression, culture, style, and function, we are still joined to the same spirit, anchored in the same gospel, and committed to the same mission of advancing God's kingdom. That's unity. We are all facing the same direction. Unity is not everyone doing the same thing. Unity is everyone moving in the same direction. Do you guys believe that today? It's churches and people recognizing, you know, that church isn't better because of, this isn't, that church isn't better because of, well, that church is more political, that church is less political, their worship is good, their teaching is good. Well, they do this and they do that. It's great. It doesn't make them better. It makes them function differently because God has called every church to be a slightly different part of the same body. I need us to understand that because it's so easy for us to criticize this church, other churches, because it may not prioritize what everyone wants it to prioritize at all times, but some are the hand, some are the feet, some are the ear, some are the mouthpiece, and it's how God has created them to be. Unity, and I'll end with this, unity is a condition for God's power. That is a bold statement, but it's 100% true. Unity, Jesus told us that only when we're unified that the world will know that the Father sent him. But also unity is a condition, a prerequisite for God's power. How do we know that? Well, Acts 2:1, all through the book of Acts, all through the New Testament, but Acts 2:1, a very famous one, says this, the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That word together in the original language simply means with one mind, one passion, one purpose. It wasn't just saying they were all sitting in a room. They were all together. It's two different statements. They were all together in one place. That's not redundant. The place is where they were, but together is togetherness. One mind, one passion, one heart, one mission. And this is what the body of Christ needs to be. And this is why every single year in our Heart for the House offering, where our church desperately needs what we need to advance God's kingdom, we stop and we pause and we look into our city and beyond and say, God, it can't just be about what this church needs. What does the body of Christ need? And how can we invest into what other churches are doing? We do it because the world will know that God sent Jesus. But also we do it because unity is a prerequisite, a condition for the Holy Spirit power that we need in our city. Do you guys agree with that today? I'll never forget a conversation that I had a few months ago now, this summer. It was a few weeks after we had learned that we were receiving the amazing property on the west side, and which was known as Trinity Family Church. And a few weeks after that, I knew that I wanted to make phone calls to pastor friends that pastored churches on the west side, just because, you know, I'm not that I expected anybody to be mean about it, but just to be kind and respectful, call and say, hey, this is happening. I want you to know that by no means do we want to compete with you. We want to partner with you. I just wanted you to hear it from me so we could dream together. Most of the conversations went well. A couple of them did not. I'm still working on it. They're great men, great people. We're working on it. But I'll never forget one of these conversations. Never, ever, ever forget it. We have great friends. They're actually in Co-Church Network. They pastor New Soul Church, Matthew and Sally Taylor. And I was calling Matthew, and I was extremely nervous for this phone call, not because I expected anything weird from Matthew, but here's why. They're in the middle of a building project, had really sacrificed to buy land and to raise money to build a building on the west side of Albuquerque. They're great friends of ours in Co-Church Network. And so I was a little bit nervous to make this phone call. And I got on the phone, I called him, and I said, Matthew, hey, man, how's it going? We talked for a second. I said, hey, I want to let you know something. This has happened. We were gifted this property, and this is a little bit of the timeline. The first words out of Matthew's mouth were this: Dustin, praise God. Praise God. I can't wait to see what God does on the west side through our churches. I immediately had tears just streaming down my face, and I was convicted. And I said, God, never let me forget the godliness of what the man on the other end of this phone call had in this moment. I want to always carry that with me. I want to end today by having a sit down. He is not with his church today. He's with us. So will you guys give Matthew Taylor a big round of applause as he comes to the stage? Matthew, you and Sally are just top-notch, top-tier people. You're kind, you're great leaders, you're brilliant. The curriculum that you guys have written, I've stolen, you've told me to. You know, there's so many great things about your church. You guys are growing, you guys are amazing. Tell us a little bit about you, your family, and I would love for you after that to cast some vision about your church.
You already got me crying, so we'll see how I make it through this moment. So me and my wife, Sally, pastor New Soul Church. We're on the west side of Albuquerque right now, currently by West Mesa. As Dustin said, we're building a building, hopefully break ground in the first quarter of the next year. I kind of like Dustin, I took over my father-in-law's church about the same time as Dustin did, and I actually took over March 1st of 2020, a week before COVID hit. Yeah, God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And so but when we took over, me and my wife, and I think they have a picture of me, my wife and my kids, and when we took over, I think my first initial thought was, yeah, you could tell all the different relationships.
They don't have any personality, that's no, right.
My son is crazy. The middle one's a lot like me, and my youngest one has never sinned or done any wrong in her life. And so I think when I initially took over, my vision was just not to break what my father-in-law had built. He pastored for 30 years in Albuquerque. He's like Pastor Galen, an incredible man of God, of character, best husband, father, you name it. And I'm like, let's just not mess this up. Right? And so we took over, COVID happened, and we were in a building that we inherited, but it was older, needed a lot of renovations, and so like, maybe this is a good time to start doing that. And as we started kind of getting in the process, we recognized our building is in a not very visible part of town. It's a bit of an industrial area, and I think we have the best church in Albuquerque that people haven't heard of. Our church is incredible. Our
I agree.
Is incredible. It's just an amazing, it's amazing congregation. And so we started thinking about the vision of the future, and I think my wife really had a word. It's just So, like, we feel like our church should be front and center in the city of Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking at properties and exploring it, and we ended up buying a piece of land directly on Unser Boulevard across from the Petroglyphs. We have big signs on it, and we're getting ready to build a building. And so, yeah, that's kind of how we got to the place we are today.
So you guys, I mean, it's a big deal. We know building a building, man, it's the best thing and it's the worst thing all at once. You know, the fundraising. I mean, pastors don't have fundraising training. We go to theology, then you're, you know, dropped into pastoring. It's like, now fundraise millions of dollars. You're like, how? You know, so you're fundraising. It's hard building. You know, where are you guys at in the process now? And I think we have a video we'll show behind you of your church building. It's beautiful. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, so we came kind of towards the beginning part of this year, approached the bank for funding, and they were like, we'll basically give you about two-thirds. You know, the building project, it always goes like this. It's initially, it's like, it's going to be $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, $8 million. It just kept going up.
Yeah.
And so the bank was like, we'll give you most of the money, but you basically, we need to show more money on the books in order to get in the building by the end of the year. And so we've been in a fundraising campaign. Thank God, it's been going amazing. Our church has sacrificed and given and has gone great. And so we've got to the place towards the end of the year that we're pulling permit as soon as this week, actually. And, yep. Contracts are starting, plans are done. And so hopefully the shovel will be in the ground the first quarter of the year. And, yeah, so we're there. There's the beautiful building.
It is. Wait till the inside. I want you guys to see the inside. It's just, it's beautiful.
We actually use the same architect as you guys on the Westside campus, which is pretty cool. So if our church looks like yours, you guys copied us.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Isn't that beautiful? Matthew, we're so unbelievably excited for you. And I do believe what you just said. The city needs your church to be front and center. We need new soul. You guys are such a well-rounded church. I just feel like this building is going to be the tipping point for God to just do something so amazing in your church, in the next generation, every generation. You have such a leadership gift, a teaching gift. Sally is such an amazing leader as well. You guys do this together like we do, and we're thrilled. You know, one of the reasons I asked Matthew to come is to share the vision for his church. And if you guys know anybody in that area that's looking for a church, man, New Soul Church, New Soul Church, New Soul Church, first of all. Secondly, you know, I know that you guys were needing to raise more money this fall to get into the building. And we were in another conversation, I just overheard you talking about that to some other pastors. And I went to our board and our leadership team and just said, hey guys, I just really felt impressed for our Heart for the House offering this year to invest into your building. And I'll never forget that phone call of you just saying, praise God. And so today, I just want to tell you that we have decided to invest $50,000 into your building campaign for New Soul. We want to help put a stake in the ground with you guys there, because how we view this on the West Side is a genuine partnership, a partnership with you guys that will last decades. And so we believe in what you're doing and are so excited for you.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple things. It should be normal, but it's not normal for churches to give into other churches in their city and into their community. So I feel incredibly honored and grateful, not just for this gift. You guys have been generous with us throughout the years and resources, time, everything. You guys have been just amazing to us. And just to provide, like, you just see God in the middle of this. When you called me and told me about this mm-hmm. a couple months ago or whatever, we were in the middle of our Heart for the House campaign, and we had set a goal of $100,000 for that weekend. And so I was actually playing golf as you were calling me, and I was about to hit a putt, and Dustin Woodward's calling me, we're going back, you know. But I was walking to the golf cart, and I just felt, and again, I thought it was just a thought, and we're trying to raise $100,000, and I just heard a voice in my head say, Citizen Church is going to give you half of what you need for your Heart for the House. And I was like, you know, get away from me, Satan, like that. Why would I think that, you know? And I get to the golf cart, and you quickly said, I'm going to give you $50,000, exactly half of what you guys need to raise. And so I think one of the things, just to provide context, are what we needed was a big end-of-the-year push to get the financing to get into the building. And I believe with all my heart, this offering and gift is what's going to allow us to break ground in the first quarter of the year and get the set forward and build a building, reach the city, and make an impact on the city of Albuquerque. So grateful for you guys. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is what I'm going to commit to you. And this is on the spot. I'm going to commit this to you. If you, when you guys are getting toward the end of the year, if you're short, I'm going to, if you're not even going to tell me, I'm going to like call your finance guy. And I just feel so strongly that this is the time for you guys to break ground. We're going to commit to just making it. We're going to make it happen. We want to partner with you guys to break ground on this. So I'm going to stay in communication with you on that. And we love you. Can we pray over Matthew and Sally and New Soul today and just believe that God's going to do just a miracle through their church, our church, and Albuquerque as a whole? If you would just stretch out your hand toward Matthew. Father, we just thank you today for this amazing man of God, this amazing vision for this church. Truly an amazing church. God, I pray that this next year will be the greatest year in the history of New Soul. With this vision, this building, I'm praying that this building would be the tipping point, God, that will lead into a season, almost like the Israelites walking into the promised land. Everywhere they step their foot, God, you will give them in the schools and elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. God, I pray for every ministry to flourish. God, I pray for the leadership to flourish, that it would be that Ephesus style training ground as well, Father. God, we thank you for this. We pray that they will be in this building sooner than they could imagine, and that we will be celebrating with them on their opening Sunday as a church, Father. We thank you for them, bless them, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Give Matthew a huge round of applause. Love you, dude. Well, guys, if you can stand with me today, here's what I want to remind you of. I want to remind you that next Sunday is a very important day, and I hope that this series has been faith-filling for you. I pray that this has been a series of alignment for you to understand what kind of church you're a part of. Next week, as you pray about what to give, I just ask you to ask God. The size of the gift needs to be determined between you and God. Even if you can't give next week, still come. It's not an awkward environment at all. We want you to be here. Giving has already opened up online. It will be open through the end of the year. But we believe that those crazy faith goals can happen. And we believe 2026 and 27 will be 2 years that a unified church in our city will begin to shift a culture and shift what Albuquerque is known for in the next 2 years. Do you guys believe that today? I'm so excited to see what God is gonna do. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you so much. God, we pray over the next few weeks, over our Heart for the House offering next week, God. I pray for every person here, blessing upon blessing here and at North Campus. Prepare our hearts for what you wanna give. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen.